Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. What's up, podcast friends, and thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast. While analyzing the podcast data, I realized that many of the earlier episodes, some of which received the most overall downloads and are still extremely relevant today, are not being listened to as much as the newly released episodes. This is why I created the alphabetical list of colleges available on the podcast with the link to the related interview to the right of each school. Please use the alphabetical list as part of your college search, which can be found in the show notes and on my website, www.collegeadmissionstalk.com. The alphabetical list serves as an on-demand virtual college fair with schools from throughout the country. To highlight how valuable the alphabetical list is, I will release past episodes that receive the highest overall downloads on Wednesdays throughout the summer. Please share the alphabetical list with anyone you think that may benefit, as it has proven to be such a valuable tool for so many listeners. So are you ready? Let's talk about it. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Gloria Darko, who's the Assistant Director of Admission at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Gloria, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much. Now, so many of us know that Carnegie Mellon is known as one of the most innovative schools with programs in AI, comp sci, all kinds of engineering, business, and physics, just to name a few. So what can you tell us, Gloria, about Carnegie Mellon that you love and makes it such a great choice for so many students?
I think a lot of students are attracted to Carnegie Mellon because of the rigorous nature of the academic programs and of the opportunities that they have to transform society and make a difference in the world. We have programs that range, like you mentioned, from STEM programs to programs that are really strong in the arts as well, that I think makes it such an attractive fit for many students. And some of the things that I really like about Carnegie Mellon is that it really takes what students are passionate about and puts it in the limelight. So one example that I can think of is CMU's launch of the Iris Lunar Rover, which is a student-built robot that was launched to the moon. This is so amazing, and I think it's such a great example of how students are taking their passions, whether in or outside of the classroom, and really making a difference in society.
Well, that's definitely fantastic, and you mentioned the rigorous programs, opportunities to transform society. And the example that you just gave is truly astonishing. And again, you mentioned that you're strong in STEM, but also in the arts. So it really does sound like there's something for everyone. And I recently read that your retention rate, which represents the percentage of students that return after freshman year, is one of the highest in the nation at 97%. The national average is at about 70%. So Gloria, what's the secret?
So there are many opportunities for students and resources as well for students to succeed and thrive in the classroom, in their personal life, and beyond all the way through graduation. And some of the resources that exist to support students on campus include our Student Academic Success Center, where students can get peer tutoring. They could work with staff members to help them in their academic coursework. They could also become a peer tutor if that's something that they're really good at and get paid for it as well. Other resources on campus include our Student Center for Diversity and Inclusion, which helps support students in terms of finding connection and belonging on campus, as well as helping them find others who share identity. This is a resource on campus that is for all students, but they support students in specific ways in terms of programming, workshops, discussions to help students find a sense of belonging on campus. Other resources include our CAP Center, which is our support center for counseling and psychological services, where students can get a group counseling, therapy, and opportunities to find someone to talk to, you know, because sometimes you just need someone to talk to. And these are resources on campus that are meant to help students to thrive in all aspects of their well-being, because how else are students going to be able to make that transformative impact on society if they're not first taking care of themselves?
Well, that's a great overview, and I just want to repeat some of them. Number one, you have your Student Academic Success Center, where a lot of peer tutoring takes place, which is great, because sometimes if you don't understand what's going on with the professor in the class, it's always great to have a small student group, which, by the way, works also in high school students. So peer tutoring is extremely important. You mentioned the Student Center for Diversity and Inclusion, and of course your CAP Center to support students with counseling and any psychological services. So we really appreciate that overview, and certainly something that contributes to your community and your 97% retention rate. So one of the things that students and their parents, Gloria, are really interested about is what happens when the application is submitted. So, Gloria, could you give us a general overview of how do you review applications at Carnegie Mellon?
Okay, so before students can apply to Carnegie Mellon, they first have to determine which college has what they want to study, and then they can name a preferred program on their application. There are six colleges within Carnegie Mellon University, which includes our Mellon College of Science, our Tepper School of Business, our Dietrich College of Humanities and Social Sciences, our School of Computer Science, our College of Engineering, and our College of Fine Arts. And they all have a variety of different majors that students can select. But students don't necessarily need to know exactly what they want to study, but they do have to have a general idea of the program that the general area that they want to study, because we're not just looking to see if they're a good fit for the whole university. We're looking to see, are they a good fit for the program that they apply to? And when we're reviewing applications, that is something that we take into consideration. But primarily for our academic programs, when we're reviewing the student's transcript, we're looking at the student in the context of their high school and what is available to them. Because we understand that the courses that may be available at one school may not necessarily be available at another school. But academic rigor, which is the difficulty of coursework, is very important when we're looking at students' transcripts. So we're looking to see, you know, in the context of what was available to you, how do you demonstrate a willingness and an ability to challenge yourself academically? And when you challenge yourself academically, how well did you perform, right? But we have a holistic review process at Carnegie Mellon. So academics is not the only thing that we're looking at. We are a test score optional school. So we also look at if a student submits their test scores, then that is a factor of consideration. If they do not submit their test scores because we're test score optional, then they're not penalized for that. It's just something that we don't look at because they didn't submit it. We look more heavily at the transcript. So we also review their common application essay, as well as the three required supplemental essays. And the first question is along the lines of, what sparked your interest in the program that you applied to? So that is truly an opportunity for students to elaborate on why they're truly passionate and interested in the program that they applied to. We also look at one letter of recommendation from a high school counselor, as well as a letter of recommendation from one teacher that has known them throughout their high school career. So, you know, when we're reviewing applications, we're looking at the student holistically, but, you know, for most of our programs, that academic component is really key, in addition to all of the different aspects of the student and what they could, how they could add value to the Carnegie Mellon University community. For students who are applying to the College of Fine Arts, for many of the programs within the College of Fine Arts, there is an audition or portfolio requirement. So that will also be a significant aspect of consideration for students applying to those programs.
Well, we appreciate the overview, and there's a lot to unpack here. So let's take it one piece at a time. First of all, you emphasize the importance of adding value, but it's also important for students to understand that when admissions representatives are reviewing your application, they want to make sure, number one, that you're able to handle the work once you're on their campus. So I know you talked about it, but the transcript is obviously the most important piece of the application in terms of the academic portion. Many reps talk about how they review not only applications holistically, but they review the actual transcript holistically. So what else can you tell us about the transcript review? And perhaps how does it differ if my intended major or my intended school is the School of Engineering, as opposed to someone going into the Fine and Performing Arts?
So context is very important when we're reviewing applications. So if a student is applying to an academic program, we understand the context of whether their school is a, for all applicants truly, we understand if their school is an independent school, a public school, a private school, a boarding school, a day school, right? And we understand the rigor of the coursework at their school. So every college, including Carnegie Mellon, gets a school profile from each high school that indicates this information to us. So we're able to see, you know, if the school offers AP courses or IB level courses or honors level courses. So that's how we're able to see when we're reviewing transcripts, whether a student is truly taking advantage of higher level coursework at their school. Because we know that when students come to Carnegie Mellon, they will be challenged academically, and it's expected that they will be challenged. So we want to make sure that a student is demonstrating that willingness and an ability to challenge themselves in the high school context. In addition to the transcript, sometimes students submit results from AP exams and IB exams. And we like to see that students have challenged themselves academically. So that's the main takeaway in terms of students working hard in their academic context to make sure that they are truly challenging themselves. So if they're curious about, you know, what that can look like and how to plan effectively in terms of the coursework they're taking and what makes a student academically challenging at Carnegie Mellon, they can sign up for counseling sessions with any of our admission counselors in our office, or they can speak with their high school counselor and plan effectively as well.
Well, we appreciate that. And you mentioned students submitting AP scores if they're available at the time of submitting their application. Obviously, if they've taken AP courses in 10th or 11th grade, they would be available. And of course, you always see the courses in progress in senior year. But could you just talk a little bit more about your test flexible policies? In other words, when should I submit my AP score? When I have a 4 and a 5 or just a 5? Or what could you tell us about that?
Yes. So our AP credit and IB credit policy is outlined on our website. But if students are interested in receiving academic credit for APs and IB exams, they must submit their scores to the university. So if they submit that, you know, at the time of the application, what we like to see in terms of strong scores are scores typically of a 4 or 5. In the AP and IB credit policy on our website, some exams require a score of a 5 in order to actually get credit for it, and some require at least a 4 or 5.
Fantastic. So we're talking about AP courses and, of course, whether or not they're going to transfer for credit. But I just want to be clear, do you use AP scores as part of the overall application review if students decide to submit them with their applications?
So these scores are not required, but if it's on the application, we will have to take that into consideration.
Understood. And I know you mentioned it earlier that Carnegie Mellon is in fact test optional, like so many other schools throughout the country. Gloria, can you share the percentage of students that applied and who were accepted that did not submit their test scores?
Yes, about 35 to 40% of students who applied did not submit test scores. But this year, for this coming academic year, we have extended our test score policy once again. And again, you know, to be test score optional means that students are not required to submit their test scores unless they choose to do so. So if a student feels that their test score, SAT or ACT scores, are truly indicative of their academic performance in high school, then they can feel free to submit their scores. But if they're not necessarily proud of the scores that they receive, then it's not required for them to submit it. However, for this year, we are strongly encouraging computer science applicants to submit test scores. However, overall, we are test score optional at the university for another year.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that because there are a lot of schools just like Carnegie Mellon where, for example, they are test optional. However, there might be a little bit of a nuance for a specific program. So you mentioned computer science and how you strongly recommend that they submit test scores if they're applying within your computer science program. So students, it's very important not to just look at the general application, but if you're applying to a specific school or program that's more competitive, see if in fact test scores are required or not. And it's always great to check for the latest information each and every college's or university's website. And of course, Gloria, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions in the show notes. If there are any other links that you want to share, send them to me. And of course, we'll make them available to the students and their parents in the show notes. I do want to unpackage the overall application review a little bit more because in your overview, you mentioned so much. So I want to go back to the essay, which of course is an important part as it gives the students a chance to have their authentic voice heard, right? The transcript are your grades, your activity sheet, all the great things hopefully that you did outside of the classroom. But it's the essay that gives the admissions rep the opportunity to really hear your voice as part of the application review. So, Gloria, can you share an example of an essay that really stuck with you and stood out over the rest?
Yes. So at Carnegie Mellon, we strive to help students be their truest self, their most authentic self, the aspect of themselves that the world needs to know and hear. And one way that we are able to get to know students through the application process is through their essay. It's truly one of the few places in the application where we get to hear directly from the student in terms of their voice and their experience. So I try to encourage students not to worry so much about the topic of the essay that they choose for the Common Application essay, but more so, how do we learn more about the applicant through their essay, right? So how do we learn more about the student's ability to work well as part of a team or collaborate with others across generations or perspectives and backgrounds that may not be the same as their own? Other things that the essay can teach us is more about the student's relationship with their family or their peers or the people in their community, how they demonstrate concern and care for others in the way that they volunteer, whether it's in their high school environment, whether it's at the local library, whether it's by raising money for organizations that need additional assistance, and so forth. So I would say the essays that have stuck the most with me haven't necessarily stuck with me because of the particular topic that a student chose, but it was more so because of the different values that I was able to learn that the student has.
Well, I really appreciate that, especially when you said, don't worry so much about the topic, students, but how will the admissions reps really learn more about you after reading your essay? For example, how will you collaborate with others? How do you help others? How do you contribute to society? What value do you add? Again, remember, the admissions reps at Carnegie Mellon, just like any other admissions office, they're looking to admit students that, number one, are going to be able to handle the work, right? They don't want to set you up for failure. But equally as important, they want to know, how are you going to contribute to their great community? So I really appreciate that overview, Gloria. And I know that Carnegie Mellon also asks its applicants to fill out a supplemental essay. Can you share what you're looking for in the supplemental essay that's not easily found elsewhere in the overall application?
Yes. So the Common Application essay is an essay that goes to every school that a student has listed on the Common Application. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend that a student put in their Common Application essay that Carnegie Mellon is their favorite school, unless Carnegie Mellon is the only school that they're applying to, because every other college they apply to will be able to see that. However, the supplemental essays that we require, and there are three of them, are very specific to Carnegie Mellon and the program that the student is particularly applying for. So the first question, again, which is along the lines of, you know, what sparked the student's interest or passion for the program that they selected, is really an opportunity for us to see if this student is truly passionate about the program that they're applying to because they're applying to a specific college, school, or program at Carnegie Mellon. So we definitely want to know more about what sparked their interest. So that could be anything from, you know, a TV show that they watched growing up that, you know, led to their passion or interest in the program they selected. It could be an activity or class that they were involved in during their high school career, or they could even be inspired by someone that they know that is in that particular field. But we want to know more about that. So it's definitely an opportunity for students to elaborate on that. Students also have the opportunity to talk about their goals and what they hope to get out of a college experience, particularly at Carnegie Mellon University.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning the Common App, the general essay, which goes to every single school. So if you're writing about Carnegie Mellon in your general essay, make sure that you change that if you're applying to other schools within the Common App. Now, the supplemental essay, you mentioned that Carnegie Mellon has three, but I really appreciate that you talked about how you're looking for, is the student truly passionate about the program they are applying to? So I think what's important for students to understand there with the supplemental, it's really important to, I think, demonstrate your understanding of the programs, for example, here at Carnegie Mellon. Why do you see yourself there? How do you see yourself there? And perhaps equally as important, how do you see yourself contributing to this great thing that we call Carnegie Mellon? So, Gloria, what do you think? If someone is able to emphasize that within their supplemental essays, and again, Carnegie Mellon has three, would that help them?
Yes. And again, essays are just one factor of the admission consideration. So yes, that is definitely a good thing. But I also try to remind students that there is no individual aspect of their application that will be the reason why a student is admitted or not admitted to the university. But making sure that they review their essay for, you know, grammatical errors or, you know, context, and making sure that their essay is something that they are proud of sharing with the committee.
This is your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Sean Patel, who's the founder and CEO of Prep Expert. Sean, welcome back.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And I'm so excited to announce that Prep Expert is the official title sponsor of the College Admissions Process podcast. This has been a partnership in the works for a while now, and I'm so glad we got it off the ground. We're so excited to work with families, parents, students of the College Admissions Process podcast at Prep Expert to help them through our live online SAT and ACT courses, not only improve their SAT and ACT scores, but help them get into college as well as win hundreds of thousands of dollars in college scholarships. Thank you so much for the partnership, and we are so excited to work with your families.
Thank you, Sean. And to learn more about how Prep Expert can support your child's academic journey, visit prepexpert.com today, and best wishes to all. Understood. And that explains your holistic review, right? There's many parts, students. But I do think it's important that you understand what they're looking for from each part and always put your best foot forward. Again, we say it all the time, the transcript, the work that you did in the school, how you challenged yourself based on the context of what's available to your high school, your activity sheet, what you did outside of the classroom, your general essay, your voice about whatever topic. Like Gloria said, it doesn't matter the topic, but it just gives you the opportunity to let them hear your voice and see your personality from that essay. The supplementals, talking about, you know, why you see yourself there, maybe demonstrating your understanding, how you're going to contribute, and whether you decide to submit test scores or not. They are test optional, but again, I repeat, if you're applying CompSci, you are strongly recommended to submit those applications. So Gloria, speaking of submitting applications, what are the different ways to apply to Carnegie Mellon? For example, early decision, early action, is there one round, two rounds of early decision? And is there a benefit to applying one way over the other in terms of being accepted, but also for merit-based scholarships?
Yes, yeah, so students can only apply to Carnegie Mellon exclusively through the Common Application, and that must be submitted online. We do not offer any other application in terms of students applying. Of course, like I mentioned, for students applying to the College of Fine Arts, there is a portfolio or audition requirement, and students will be expected to submit through the proper avenues as well. Additionally, there are different application plans and deadlines for students. So at Carnegie Mellon, we offer early decision one, early decision two, regular decision, and early admission. Early decision is a binding plan. So what that means is that you can only apply to one university through the early decision one route. And if you are admitted to the university, you are required and expected to attend that university. So it is important that you think very carefully about whether you want to apply through the early decision route. I usually tell students that, you know, early decision one can be a good fit for a student if the student is absolutely sure that that school is their number one school. Because if they are admitted, they are required to withdraw all other applications from any other school that they applied to, and they wouldn't be able to compare financial aid offers from different schools to see if other schools are a good fit. So the student signs to it, their high school counselor signs to it, as well as their parent. So it's definitely, you know, something to really consider. Early decision two can be a good fit for a student if they want their first quarter or first semester senior year grades to be considered as part of the review process, because oftentimes when students apply through the early decision one route, we don't necessarily have their senior year grades yet to be able to consider that in the review process. So it just gives students a little bit more time in order for their grades from senior year to be released, so that that could be factored into the process. Early decision two can also be a good fit for a student if maybe Carnegie Mellon is not their number one choice, but it's a solid number two choice, and a student applies to another school through the early decision one route, and then they're not admitted to that school. They're released from that binding agreement with that school, and then they have another opportunity to apply through early decision two. There is no advantage to students applying early decision at Carnegie Mellon aside from just getting notified earlier. Only about 30% of our admitted students are admitted through the early decision pool. The rest of the students are typically admitted through regular decision. And we find that our regular decision pool is the most competitive. So we want to also give an opportunity for students applying through that route to be considered as well. In terms of regular decision, that deadline, you know, that's the typical deadline that families, students and their families have. But with early admission, that is not the same as early action, which is the non-binding plan that a lot of schools offer. Early admission is specifically for high school juniors who have exhausted all of their high school curriculum, and they will be graduating a year early and will be starting college immediately. So they will not be taking a gap year. Not many students qualify for this plan, but if a student thinks that they might qualify for it, they could always reach out to our office via phone call or email, and we can let them know if they qualify to apply through that route.
Well, we appreciate you explaining that distinction. Early admission, it's really for students that are completing high school after 11th grade. Like you said, not a very common thing at all, but there's certainly many students out there that fall under that category. So, Gloria, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I'm so glad that we had you here today. But unfortunately, it does lead us to the last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide a student and their parents who are getting ready for the college admissions process?
So my top piece of advice for students and families going through the admissions process is to start early. It is never too early to start planning for college. And with schools, particularly with schools like Carnegie Mellon that are very rigorous, where students are applying specifically to a direct program or college, it is important that students have taken the required coursework in their high school if their school offers it. So, you know, with the College of Engineering, for example, physics is a must. If a student's school offers it, we expect that a student is taking high-level science courses as well as math, such as calculus. If a student's school offers higher level courses, whether it's AB calculus, BC calculus, or even multivariable calculus, we would like to see that students are taking those courses. The same goes for all of our other programs as well, including the School of Computer Science, the Mellon College of Science, business, and so forth. My second piece of advice would be to keep track of deadlines. You know, unfortunately, sometimes I think students apply when they're applying to a variety of schools, sometimes they don't realize that different schools might have different application deadlines, different plans, or even financial aid deadlines as well. If students want to be considered for financial aid, it is important for them to know what each school requires in terms of applying for financial aid. At Carnegie Mellon, we do not offer any merit scholarships. We only offer need-based financial aid. And we want to make sure, and we are committed to making sure that every student who is admitted and wants to attend Carnegie Mellon can afford to be here. So we require the FAFSA, which is the free application for federal student aid, for students to be considered for federal aid, which is financial aid from the government. And at Carnegie Mellon, we also require submission of the CSS profile, which is through the College Board's website. And that gives consideration for students regarding institutional aid, so aid from the university. And both applications are required to be considered for financial aid at Carnegie Mellon. So I think it's important for students to start doing that research now and starting that process early and also checking out deadlines. And along with that, my last piece of advice would be, if a student can visit a school, whether that's in person or through virtual programming, I highly encourage them to find different ways, which, you know, CMU has, to engage with the school. While schools, including Carnegie Mellon, are looking to see that students are a good fit for the university, I think it's important for students to also look to see if a school is a good fit for them, right? Because some things that is important to consider, in addition to the academic rigor of a university, is also where is the school located, right? Sometimes weather truly plays a part in whether you'll be happy in that environment or not. I think also, you know, in terms of, you know, what is the campus culture like? Are people happy, satisfied at the school? What is the retention rate of the university? What is the student to faculty ratio? Do students have access to professors on the campus? Do they have access to research? I think all of those things are really important in determining whether a school can be a good fit for the student. So that would be my three top pieces of advice.
Well, those are tremendous pieces of advice. Number one, you talked about starting early, but I really like how you broke down, for example, look, if you're planning to be an engineering major, physics and high levels of math are an absolute must. And of course, you gave many other examples. And I think that's a good thing for students to understand, that when you do meet with a college admissions rep, if you have a particular major or a school that you want to apply to, certainly ask, you know, look, if I'm studying engineering, this is what's offered at my school. What do you think? You know, I think that's a good question to ask in terms of what the minimum expectations are based on the context of your high school. You talked about deadlines and the fact that you don't offer merit-based scholarships, but students do need to submit a FAFSA and the CSS profile to see if they are going to be considered for financial aid. And lastly, you talked about the importance of visiting. There are so many online opportunities. My personal advice to students, look, we get it. Whether it's financial or, frankly, for time, it's not easy to visit every single school before you apply. But my advice is always to visit a school before you matriculate, because the feeling you get when you're standing on campus and visit the surrounding area is very hard to replicate virtually. So again, if you can't visit before you apply, certainly try to do so before you actually matriculate. Gloria, thank you so much for an amazing conversation. You're awesome. It was great seeing you when you were on Long Island not too long ago. And I do hope to have you again on the CAP. Thank you again so much.
Thank you, John. This was a pleasure.
The pleasure was all ours. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college search. Take care, everyone, and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend. and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The Cap.
Hey, podcast friends, if you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you, and best wishes to all with the college admissions process.